Hey, do you guys want any podcorn?
I'd love some popcorn.
No, Pete. Podcorn. It's a marketplace for connecting podcasters to sponsorship opportunities.
Wait, Podcorn, isn't that who's sponsoring our show right now?
Sure is, Justin. Podcorn has a great, easy-to-use interface that lets you search for advertisers for your podcast and lets advertisers search for you.
So is there any popcorn or...
Wait, so what's the deal? If I use Podcorn, I'm going to have to spend a lot of time learning about advertising and dealing with financials, which is like a money word, and selling my soul to sketchy, horrible companies that make me feel like I want to die?
No. The opposite of that. I was actually shocked, and I mean this sincerely.
Thanks for being unsincere every time, every moment before this.
Well, it's an ad. Anyway, I took barely any time to set up, and then once I did, it was actually fun to click through and find advertisers that might match well with our podcast. The whole interface is simple and straightforward, even for someone not financially minded like me.
True.
And once you do hook up with an advertiser like, say, Podcorn...
I'm hungry.
Pete, just...
Working with them to craft the right ad is supremely simple, too. You don't have to commit to anything you don't want to do, and you can spend a lot less time looking around for advertisers and more time on making your podcast great.
Yeah, so when do we start making this podcast great?
Wow. Anyway, you never give up your rights, and Podcorn is there to help protect you if there are any issues. I really can't recommend it highly enough. And hey, if you want more info, check out the link in our episode description. Once again, that's Podcorn.
Podcorn?
Podcorn.
So is no one else craving popcorn right now?
Pete, come on. Just eat a meal.
Hey, there's a couple of people we want to thank for supporting us on Patreon.com/comicbookclub this month, starting it off with Aaron C. Hollis,
Adam Marks,
Adriel Moreland,
Elena Fontenot,
Amanda Harris,
Amy Gonzalez,
Andrew Tillman,
Benjamin Brown,
Brett Macris,
Chelsea Mack,
Chris Leatherman,
Clemens Soil Loire,
Corbidorby Doodle,
Curtis LaRock,
Dan Snow,
Danny Heck,
Danny Ollie,
Dennis Scott,
Dustin Rimmey,
Eduardo Martinez,
Aaron Dorian,
Jeffrey Reicher,
Gerard De Villar,
James Connolly,
Jason Williams,
Jessica Ashcraft,
Joe Crack,
John George,
Jonathan John,
Joseph Kelly,
Joshua W. Broxson,
Catherine Anderson,
Casey Newhaven,
Kendall Wilson,
Kevin Grimes,
Kevin Kleinrock,
Kieran Broderick,
Lee Brown,
Liwana Thomas,
Lucas Sink,
Mark Carrillo,
Mark Kiefer,
Mark Zeller,
Megan Thigpen,
Michael Sturgeon,
Mike D'Argenio,
Mitchell McDonald,
Nick Grayson,
Omnia Solart,
Paul Collars,
Perry Taliaferro,
Pip Pete 2020,
Primetime Paulie G,
Radu,
Rahadwin Sastruardio,
Tamila Rush,
The 12 Banch,
Thiago Nascimento,
Victor Perez,
W. Blaine,
Wally D. Librarian,
Will Buchanan,
Buchanan,
and of course, Zika's Viral Comics. Yeah. We only had to do that 9 times.
Thank you so much for supporting us, everybody. Enjoy the live show.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming out to Comic Book Club Live. Please give it up for your hosts, Alex, Justin, and Pete.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I am Pete.
And that's our man of the booth, Booth Man Prime.
Booth Man Prime is back.
Oh, my gosh.
Very exciting.
What a night. What a night to be alive.
Yes. And that's what we are. We're alive.
Boothman Prime, welcome back, man. How was Disneyland?
Disneyland was crazy.
Oh,
I went to Disneyland for like 5 days. It was insane.
Wow. Disneyland for 5 days? Can you spend five days
or Disney
there?
World.
It was all paid for, and we spent every bit of it amazingly.
Paid for by Disney?
By a game show my girlfriend was on.
Oh, my gosh. Wait, what game show are you
on? She was on a $100,000 pyramid and won this crazy-ass trip to Disneyland. It was
hell
insane.
Yeah, she did.
Wow.
What celebrity was she partnered with?
She got partnered with exactly who she wanted. It was Rachel Dratch and Kevin Nealon. She got comedians, which is what she wanted.
Wow. So cool. Yeah. What is this secret you've been keeping?
Pretty cool. Boothman Prime, man.
Booth Prime. Thanks for revealing that, Pete.
Yeah, no problem. God,
you're just a man. You know all the secrets of everyone else.
I don't know about that.
One sequel we can talk about is how we went to see Raw last night.
WWE Raw.
That's right.
Not like a raw piece of chicken.
No, we didn't go to a raw vegetable.
Or raw bar.
A raw bar.
Ooh, we should have gone to a raw bar.
No way, man.
There's a lot of raw out there in the world, and we all had a great time.
Yes, we did.
And Pete's hungover.
Yeah, you're really enjoying that.
That's fun.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we didn't know that until late in the game. We've been hanging out for like an hour and a half now.
Yeah.
You just revealed.
Yeah, it's a big reveal.
Are you still hungover? His secrets.
Yeah, I'm hurting. I'm struggling.
Oh, okay. You do look a little green right now.
Yeah, it's cool. Boothman Prime putting more lights on me. I appreciate that. I thought we were cool.
It's literally a green light that he's flashing on you. Yeah. That's what's funny about it.
Yeah, yeah.
There we go. Sickly LePage.
Let's take it
Sick
down a little bit,
LePage?
Yeah.
Sick LePage?
You're going to be Sickly? In a good mood to talk about comics.
Yep. What's great is if I throw up, I'm going to throw up on you.
That's
yeah,
nice.
Pete, I know you're a little hungover, but... face out to the audience.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure. I'll start doing that now.
You're going to have the hair of the comic review that bit you.
Right.
Tonight.
But we did. We went to WWE Raw. It was very cool, very fun. I am a big wrestling fan now.
Yes.
Yes. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was awesome.
I had a blast.
It was a super fun time.
Yeah.
And in fact, we're going to keep talking about the wrestling, you guys.
Okay.
Yeah.
Should we keep it going?
Yeah, let's do it.
Keep having a good time.
Is there anyone we could bring out that would help?
That is a great question. Well, I'll tell you why. We actually have a guest tonight. He is a wrestling superhero. He's currently a producer for the WWE. Ladies and gentlemen, Hurricane Helms! Yeah.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah,
welcome.
Hello. Good to see you. Hello, please. There we go.
Have a seat. Have a microphone.
Yes. All right.
It's an absolute pleasure to have you, sir.
Thank you so much for coming.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm glad you guys had a good time last night. I heard you had some good tickets.
Yes. Yes. Man. Good.
Oh, my God.
Thanks.
They were great.
You have anything to do with that?
I know a guy.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you sharing that knowledge with us because those seats were unbelievable.
Well, very cool, man. I'm glad you guys. It was your first time, right?
It was not just my first time seeing it live, but like my first time seeing wrestling in full, a whole show.
He's never seen two people touch each other.
So
this is crazy for him.
Yeah, I usually try to keep it away.
Keeps his distance. It was Pete's first time as well.
Yeah, it was my first time at a live event as well. Like, I've watched earlier WrestleManias, like on TV and stuff like that.
Ancient one back in your early days.
Yeah, yeah. That was back when, like, my favorite wrestler was Coco Beware and the Junkyard Dog, stuff like that. So, like,
you never made it down to Madison Square Garden?
I grew up way upstate, so I wasn't close, you know, as a kid, but, it was really impressive to see what they do in that ring live and, like, the airtime and it's just unbelievable. I mean, they are literally flying through the air. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I think like any athletic, stuff now, the talents are like, the athleticism is through the roof.
Holy crap.
I was a game changer back in the day, and I can't do anything close to what these guys do now. So.
Well, let's talk about that. So you are Hurricane Helms, but you fought back in the, is it called fighting?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, I don't know.
It's good.
Sometimes most of that happens backstage.
You're doing a terrible job.
You're doing great.
We were talking about this a little bit backstage, that you kind of had a Green Lantern personality because you were... Were you a comic book fan first or were you a wrestling fan first? Where did it start?
I was a wrestling fan first. My dad was a huge wrestling fan, so that's my first memory of television. Watching wrestling with my dad. Then around 5 or 6, my parents got divorced. It's okay. We got over it. But with the new family came comic books. My stepmom's father had a big collection.
Oh, cool.
You know, and this was a older collection.
Yeah, so super golden age.
Yeah,
stuff.
That type of stuff. And so that was my new family right there. And I just always had a love for those two things. And it was funny because, you know, wrestling used to be the redneck sport. Yeah. Before it took over the world.
Yeah.
And then comics, you know, comics also have a stereotype. I don't know if you guys have heard that or not. But
we've always been very cool.
Very cool.
Always cool kids reading comics.
Yeah. So, I was in those two little niche groups anyway. Mm-hmm. And then, luckily enough, wrestling kind of hit a global boom. Yeah. And I think comics are in, you know, one of the best eras that they've ever been. My personal opinion, anyway. So,
yeah.
When you were going through that old collection, did you have a favorite? Was there a favorite hero, favorite title, anything like that?
I remember the Legion of Superheroes. I love teen books more than anything. Nice. You know, I felt like you just got more. So the Legion, I was real big on Green Lantern Corps, you know, stuff like that. But I kind of liked everything because my grandfather had a lot of indie comics, which were super rare for that time.
Oh, wow.
Well, yeah, what is that even?
Yes, I mean, some that I've never seen before or since. Well, obviously not before, but since. And some of them were horror comics. Some of them had an adult theme, weird kind of things. But so when I met my friends, I was the only one that had even known or knew that that the companies other than DC and Marvel existed.
Oh, wow.
So I had this little superior knowledge.
Yeah. We know a little bit about doing that. Yeah.
So when you did get a chance, when you did start wrestling and you were developing your personality, your onstage personality, did you immediately go towards superhero comic book or were there a couple of steps there?
Yeah, that didn't come until about 10 or 11 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I've been doing this for a long time.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I was an amateur wrestler, too, so I got 22 gold medals. So I was a serious wrestler, you know.
Oh, wow.
You know, I grew up down south. We had the NWA, which is you guys up here had WWF.
Yep.
WWF was more character-based. They would have, you know, the Hulk Hogans and stuff like that. NWA, we had Ric Flair, and it was more actual wrestling-based. Mm-hmm. So, I grew up with that, so that was the character. But then when I came to WWE, it was the most stacked roster of all time in this business. So you had, you know, Steve Austin, The Rock, who I beat, by the way.
Yeah.
And anyway, like I said, you just had all of these big, huge superstars, and there were so many of us that are just, we just scrambling for TV time. Mm-hmm. It was actually WWE's creative idea to have me do the superhero.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they go, it'll be just a couple weeks, few months at the most.
Yeah.
And that was in 2001, and I had my last match last year, which was 2019.
Wow. That's hilarious.
So when I was telling a friend who is a huge WWE fan that you're coming on the show, he was like, this is the clip. You got to watch this clip, which is you making fun of The Rock. Yeah. What was it like filming that segment? What went into that?
Well, we did a couple. That was, I mean, I don't know which specific one you talking about, unless it's the dingling
hiding
one.
In a locker.
Yeah, that's the one. The dingling one, guys.
Yeah,
that's the one.
That's the one.
But like what sometimes happens in our industry is they'll have me and The Rock was only going to meet backstage one time, and that was it. But it went so good that it just turned into this little mini feud. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, The Rock's going to Steve Austin at WrestleMania, but because our little interaction went so well, it just kind of snowballed into something else. But the Tiny Ding-a-ling segment you're talking about, if you guys haven't seen it.
Yeah,
You have seen the Tiny Ding-a-ling or the segment?
Huh? Wow, okay. Yeah, no, I've seen both. I'm a true fan, so I've got to do my research.
Yeah, so that one, like the whole being in the closet thing, I just said, what if I was in there? Because originally I was going to come flying in like I always did.
Yeah.
And I don't know, just craziness.
Well, and I think that, that what you're talking about really, there's such a synergy between wrestling and comics in that it's like there's one big continuity. There's like you're always like, oh, these two characters worked really well together. Let's find a way to get them back together. You're always keeping track of everything, moving little chess pieces each event, each match. And the fact that you sort of were that center point, that touch point, I think is so interesting.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because I'm a big fan of continuity. I mean, we got one of our writers here, so he is too.
Yeah, no.
But it isn't always easy in comics either.
No.
One of the things that kind of would make me leave sometimes when they would reboot everything, and I'm like, man, I can't keep up with this again.
Yeah, yeah.
But so, yeah, continuity is huge. And for me, it was just fun to be involved in this little weird, a point in my life. Because then fans would start wearing the Green Lantern shirts to our show.
Yeah.
Nice.
So there was a surge in Green Lantern merchandise. And actually, I was at the monitor one time, and Vince McMahon was beside me, and I pointed out those Green Lantern shirts. Mm-hmm. And I go, that's because of my tattoo. And he goes, well, maybe we need some Hurricane shirts.
Yeah.
And I go, yeah.
Very on brand.
Yeah.
Nice.
But DC Comics invited me to the office, and they just gave me one of everything there.
Oh, wow.
And so cool.
We had a pretty good relationship.
Awesome. Yeah.
Talking about this as well. You're so identified with the Green Lantern thing, but that was not the original intention. Like, you went in wanted to get a Superman tattoo, you were saying.
Yeah, I wanted to get the old school Superman Kingdom Come tattoo.
Nice.
And my tag team partner, who was significantly bigger than I am, or especially was at that time, went the day before and got a Superman tattoo.
You were like, come on, man.
Yeah, I didn't want him. Like, I didn't want matching tattoos, but then because he was so much bigger than me, I was like, I'm going to be Superboy. I don't want to be Superboy. And so I drew on my computer with Windows Paint or whatever was there at the time.
That's
and
funny.
Drew the Green Lantern tattoo and took it to the place and had the guy do it. So
nice.
Wow, that's crazy.
It's more though. Impressive that you had to do it on paint. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It was pretty hard.
Yeah.
I remember it taking a long time, and I'm pretty sure now anybody could do it in 5 minutes, but it took me a long time.
Yeah.
Was there ever any thought about like assembling a Justice League, a wrestling Justice League, or anything like that?
Yeah, we kind of did a little bit. We called it the Hurra League. Like everything, yes. You know, like the Batman thing. Everything hurricane related is Hurra something.
Yeah, the Hurra family.
So I had Mighty Molly, who was a sidekick, and then I had Rosie, who was the superhero in training, SHIT. We did that for a while.
Yeah.
And that was some really fun stuff. We were, you know, very tongue in cheek. Well, we tried to save the day, but it would always, you know, go awry. Like, I remember I gave a warning about fireworks or something on the 4th of July, and then I accidentally lit Rosie on fire. Oh, and he's in the background on fire, and we have to put him out, just stuff like that.
It's so crazy, because you have to, that's the stuff that you're doing in real life. That's like a comic book panel, and you're having to produce this, make this happen in real life. It's wild.
Yeah, so it was real fire, and we had to really put him out.
Oh, that is, and that's what's so, like, seeing the show last night, like, the production is unbelievable, like, and the fact that, I feel like, it's also airing live on television at the same time. That's like a circus act that no other sport or event really pulls off in that same way. There's like a delay or whatever, and you guys are like, okay, so now we're going to have this crazy thing happen. I hope it works out, and it's going to be airing live.
Yeah, there's nothing like what we do.
It's truly stunning.
We're the only like form of entertainment with a ticket-paying audience that one of our goals is to actively piss them off.
Yeah.
We want to send you home pissed off tonight, you know, so angry that you want to fight people, but we want you to come back next week.
That's
too.
The thing that was driving me crazy was there was this asshole, and the asshole won, and I was so pissed. I was like, what the fuck is happening?
This is AJ Styles?
AJ Styles. Yeah, and like, AJ Styles was doing bullshit where he was having like other people fight for him, and then he came in at the end. I was so pissed off at that, and I was like, why is the ref letting this happen? Like, this is so...
But you're saying it worked on you.
Yeah.
You walked out of there angry and interested.
Yeah, it did work on me, which is upsetting because I was like, oh, yeah, this isn't going to get me. I'm not going to lose
Pete
my shit.
He bought tickets for every installment of WWE Raw going forward at this point.
But I want to ask, like, the stuff that I saw, like the stuff that has to get rehearsed or whatever, it's got to be so different from like practicing something and then being out there in front of the audience and seeing it live. Like, were you ever like super scared, like up on the top ropes or like, holy crap, I hope this guy knows this move is coming next? Because they're making split decisions like in the moment of like, you know, switching in and out of routines like on the fly. I mean, do somebody ever have an off night or you take an elbow to the face? I mean, it's like the slaps and the things that we saw and heard were just echoing throughout the stadium. And it was, I didn't think, you know, I was like, holy, yeah, it's real. Like, holy, that looks, but when you hear.
I think there's a question.
It's coming. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. We get beat to death.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, we don't get an off season. Number one, it's, you know, when I kind of was at my peak, I was wrestling 4 or 5 nights a week.
Holy shit.
And when you want to talk about terms of practice, like nobody was out there doing any of those moves before the show last night. They might discuss it backstage and it might be a little like something, but there's nobody, you don't go out there and remember 20 minutes worth of a match. You can't do that anyway.
Yeah, that's.
So there's a lot of ad lib. There's a lot of, you know, me playing off of you. You know, if I'm going to wrestle somebody that's huge, it's going to be a little bit different if I wrestle somebody my size or smaller. So you got to play off the guys. But there are people that go, man, you guys like practice every day? We're like, no. It beats you to death no to time. Do anyway.
Yeah. I don't want to do it twice.
Yeah. But you can't be afraid. That's for number one. Especially if you're a flyer. No. If you're a high flyer, the second you get afraid is when you're going to fall.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Would you say there's like a shorthand? Like when you're out there, it's like, oh, I see what's happening here. I'm about to do this. I've made eye contact real quick. We're aware. Or is it truly like, well, let's just see what happens?
There's a lot of just see what happens, you know. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of, too, though, when you start to work with a guy, you kind of get a feel for him. You know, I know what this guy likes to do. You know, if I was wrestled John Bradshaw Layfield. He's the guy that clotheslines your head off. So I know this is coming.
Yeah. He's got this move.
But people think that helps. Like, well, you know what's going to happen, right? But yeah, that makes it worse. Yeah. Like, if I told you guys, hey, before the end of the show, I'm going to bash your head in with a chair. Now you got to think about it.
Yeah, I would definitely be thinking about it.
I'm thinking about it now.
So sometimes knowing makes it a lot worse.
Yeah. No, it's funny. I feel like we have that similar shorthand where it's like, oh, yeah, I know Pete's move. I'm just anticipating. Right. It's like verbal, so you know I feel like shit happened.
Yeah, right. Sure. Feels like you're getting.
I feel like I'm getting beat up.
Speaking of which, Pete, you had a question that you wanted to ask. Your number one question you said about the show.
So they were changing out mats like in between fights,
right?
And I was confused by that because it seemed like they were taking away padding, and I was like, no, keep the padding for the next guy. Like, why are you
sitting next to Pete, and this is the number one thing he was getting upset about.
I couldn't believe that, like, because I seen Zambonis clean the ice. That makes sense to me.
Similar,
but I was like, you know, on the basketball floor, you got the squeegee guy, but like, they were just like, it was peeling off layers, and then the next person would come out, and I'd be like, holy shit, that person has to wrestle on less cushioning than the last person.
It's like
person.
If you were seeing a swimming match and they kept taking water away.
Yeah. You get worried.
What are they doing?
Why did they take away the pads?
Just to keep the ring clean the whole time. It's just a little cover. That is not padding whatsoever. And it's stretched so hard that you wouldn't even, it wouldn't do anything if it was padding. But
okay, well, I was worried.
It's interesting that you thought that, though. I'm very entertained by that thought process.
Because I was like,
you should come every week.
Because to me, it's obvious they're just trying to get a clean canvas because it's on high definition. And see, like, some of the girls have a lot of makeup on makeup smears. Yeah. And guys and girls wear that fake tanner because nobody wants to get in a tanner bed anymore. And then that shit smeared all over the ring.
Okay.
And so they try to keep the mat clean just because on TV. Because
it's gross.
Right, and because it's gross.
So, just to interpret for Pete, have you ever thought about having like a tidy Zamboni going around?
Now I am. Right. Now it's all I'm thinking about.
Felt like, holy crap, if I was wrestling, I would always want to be first because that's the most.
That would have the most.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I like how your brain works. I get that.
It's different than most people.
Now, this isn't necessarily a new thing, but I feel like there's been a lot more of them lately. Talk about the back and forth between comic books and wrestling. There's been a lot of wrestling comic books as well. Do you, since you are so involved in wrestling, do you read them, or does it feel like reading an instruction manual when you go home or something like that?
Most of them have felt like reading about somebody who doesn't know about wrestling.
Okay.
You know, so the only one that I really put over 1,000% is Headlock Comics. And I actually sent you guys a motion comic out because I wrote a story in it. And this guy isn't involved in wrestling, but he came to me. I was doing San Diego Comic Con one year. Nice. And he's like, I'm going to write a book about the behind-the-scenes life of pro wrestling. And immediately, I'm like, what the fuck does this guy know? But the book, he's got a lot of friends in wrestling. Jerry Lawler does the covers, and Jerry the King Lawler is an incredible artist.
He was there last night.
Yeah. He does the announcing every Monday night.
Yeah.
He's an incredible comic book artist. He does, you know, paintings. When he does comic cons, he'll sit there and do sketches and drawings of people.
Wow.
And sell them too. So he's incredibly talented. And anyway, that wrestling comic is, I really love, because it's really true, and it's about some of the stuff that really happens behind the business. So,
Now, since you were a wrestler and people got to watch you at cons, do people tell you like touching stories? Like, come up to you and be like, "Oh man, me and my dad used to watch you wrestle, and it was really cool." Like, what kind of interactions do you have when you go to cons? Like, what's some of your favorite moments?
Just what you said. That happens a lot. There's, you know, people that were in hard times in their life, and wrestling got them through it. Just like I'm sure comics, comics got me through a good period, and wrestling too. So, I mean, I think I have those moments. I think all human beings do. So when that is relayed back to you, that's of course, it's very special.
Yeah, I mean, that's got to be super nice to know that, like, sure, you're putting yourself out there on the line, but also, like, you're helping people and helping them get through stuff or making connections and stuff like that. So it's got to feel good to get some of that back a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's the one thing I love about entertainment. I think it's a huge part of society.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, sometimes you just need to get a break from how insane, you know, everything in nature is trying to kill us. I just read this book in peace?
Exactly. You were at a con a couple of weekends ago, right? Or just this past weekend?
Yeah, this past weekend. Yeah.
So when you go to a con, what are you searching out? What are you looking for? What do you like to hit up first?
I'm like a kid in a candy store. I just walk around. I keep sneaking away from my table, and whoever's paying me to be there keeps kind of yanking me back. But there's a lot of creators that I like to meet that I haven't met. You know, I got to meet Gail Simone this past week for the first time. And we've interacted on Twitter a couple of times because she's a Twitter machine, and I am too. I'm an over-tweeter. But so I got to meet her in person. I got to meet Bob Hall, who worked on the Squadron Supreme, who you guys need to put over more on this show.
Yeah,
that's my one request. I want you guys to do the issue by issue like you did for The Watchmen to do for the original Squadron because it predates The Watchmen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's better.
Better than Watchmen.
So I do want to ask you about this because we've been talking about this a little bit back and forth. What is it about Squadron Supreme that draws you in so much?
That one was the first time I seen a Superman character beat a motherfucker to death.
Yeah. Whoa! Yeah. With this dude.
I had never seen that, so that stood out to me. But as a kid, you know, I had some of the indie comics, but of course, even back then especially, it was DC or Marvel, and that was it. Mm-hmm. And so this was a Marvel book, but it wasn't about characters that, you know, wasn't in the Marvel main universe.
Yeah.
And to me, that was really fascinating at the time. You know, and then like so many, you know, Warren Ellis did a good job with Stormwatch and the authority on this type of team. But no other super team had ever decided, you know what, I'm going to take we got this shit. We're going to run this place.
Yeah.
And even as a kid, I thought, if I had superpowers, that's exactly what I'd do. At least you would think you'd want to. I'm going to run the country. And then you realize, oh, this isn't worth it at all.
Yeah.
So that was fascinating. Like I said, Hyperion taking out his doppelganger and just beating him to damn death. That was pretty impressive. And then the finale, not everybody makes it out.
Yeah.
And they kind of stuck to it. Whereas, you know, nowadays when a character dies, you know he's going to be back next issue. And there's no jeopardy. There's no stakes or anything when you do that. Mm-hmm. Back then, those characters died, and that was it. You didn't see them no more.
Yeah. If I remember, I haven't read it in a long time, but it's like you're talking about the Mark Gruenwald, Gruenwald run where it's like dystopian. It's like super dark, which was way ahead of its time in that regard, right? Like,
Without a doubt.
Because they take over the country to try to make it a better place, and they're, by the end of it, they're like, oh, we actually became authoritarians and ruined everything.
Yeah.
Like, that's, because when did that come out?
So that's The Watchmen.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That's literally what The Watchmen is as well.
It was a couple of years earlier, right?
It was in that mid-80s.
I think it was only one year. So, I mean, there were probably just the ideas that were kind of happening at the same time, but.
Did you read Supreme Power, JMS reboot of it? Yeah. Did you like that as well?
Yeah, I love that one as well.
Yeah, that was good.
Nice. Yeah, it's good stuff. All right, we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the stack. And
that a little closer?
It was very far away. I felt like I was reaching up like that. We're going to talk about a couple of books that we particularly like this week and chat about them. Let's kick it off with The Avengers number 31 from Marvel Comics. Pass this over to you if you want to take a look.
Yep.
So Tony Stark is back in time. He is trapped a million years in the past, and he is mixing it up with the old-timey Avengers.
The art alone is worth picking this up. It's one of those books that, like...
You don't even read the words.
No, you don't need to. The art tells us such a better story than the words ever could.
Down.
Yeah, yeah. I think this is one of those books that has an amazing cover that kind of, like, grabs you and makes you want to buy it. And, I was really impressed with what's going on.
Tony Stark.
And now Justin. Yeah.
Thank you, King. Tony Stark.
Don't call him King.
Yeah, we're his.
He can say whatever he wants.
Never defy the king.
Yes.
We're his two princes. So Tony Stark back in time, he makes a little snowman armor in this.
Yeah. Calls himself Ice Age Man.
Yeah. Or something like that. Iceman.
Iceman.
I'm a little confused with Tony Stark because they what set this off is someone found his Iron Man armor head with his head in it dead.
That's going to upset you no matter who you are.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, you're going to be like, what happened?
Yeah, if you see your head in an old hat, you're going to be upset.
Old hat.
Yeah,
yeah, the Iron Man armor is.
Yeah, it's like an old hat. You know?
Now, I don't want to spend too much time on this or get too distracted, but for the past couple of weeks on the show, you guys have been sitting on a very low couch.
Yes.
Right.
And on the low couch, we've been, I've been complaining, I would say, that Pete has basically been lying down, prone. Now, you specifically were like, I don't want to sit on the couch because I'm tired of lying down.
Right.
You are now sitting on a normal human chair and you're still lying down.
Fuck you, man.
What's going on, Pete?
I don't know, man.
Sit up.
No.
You're ruining your spine.
Oh, my God.
You're like the guy who didn't graduate, but he's still a senior in high school. Yeah. And he's like, I'll sit however I want.
That's teacher. Right. I'm going to turn my chair around backwards. Yeah. What's up?
Cool.
Yeah. Anyway, back to this comic book.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know where this takes place in continuity because Tony Stark is dead.
Oh, I did want to ask a question. What do you mean by an old hat? What would you say is an old hat that you would not want to see your dead head on?
I mean, underneath? You know, like let's say you had like an old beanie.
Or an old beanie.
Yeah, yeah. You know, like one of those propeller hats, you know, something like that. You know, an old hat you don't wear anymore.
Yeah.
So or one of those casino visors, you know, they used to have. But
is there a type of hat you would want to see your severed dead head in?
Like a bowler hat, some classic.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Yeah.
Fedora.
Wizard's
probably,
hat?
Ooh, probably
a pointy wizard hat.
Yeah, probably be a fedora that I die in.
A stormtrooper helmet.
Ooh, that's cool.
That's cool, yeah.
If you saw your head in a stormtrooper helmet, you'd be like, nice.
Yeah.
Went out fighting.
Have you been reading Avengers at all, Herc?
Yes. I'm very caught up on this book.
Yeah. What do you think about this?
I'm caught up, but I don't know about Howard Stark being the adopted father of Tony Stark, or the other way around, however adoption works.
There's so many things going on with Tony Stark right now. Like, he's adopted. His brother is back alive. His brother is Iron Man. He died, and then I think he died again?
He died a couple times and then became an AI.
Right.
That's why his head's laying around, because he dies so much.
Yeah, that's right. And in this, it's sort of the idea is that Howard Stark is the devil or working very closely with the devil.
Right. Isn't there also in a Hulk, Hulk's dad is also the devil?
Yeah.
Oh, a lot of Avengers.
They're brothers.
Well, there you go. Great.
I don't know if you guys noticed, too, they called the Red Hulk, they called him Brock Lesnar in this book.
Yes, I saw that.
The little Brock Lesnar shout out.
So. Yeah.
Nice.
It's the same, it's all the same.
He was there last night.
He didn't have a good night last night.
No, man, that was rough. Yeah. And that's the thing you were talking about, storytelling. Like, the storytelling at the wrestling event was pretty awesome. Like, you get, like, little teases for upcoming matches that makes you want to come back. That Brock Lesnar stuff, I was telling them, like, he went through so many surgeries and stuff to be able to be back in the ring. And, like, his body was
Brock Lesnar?
Yeah, like, he really hurt his back and did stuff. And then he had to, like, really kind of, like, train up and get himself
How did
healthy.
He train again? What was going on over there?
This is him, like this is.
I think never, that's exactly what he did.
He's never exercised.
If you keep doing that, you'll look exactly like Brock Lesnar.
In my head, he was in like a pool, like kind of doing.
That's what swimming is.
Yeah, sure.
Lightly moving your arms.
Yeah, Pete. Before we get lump on Pete too much, he just sat all the way up, which is exercise.
Which is technically exercise.
Yes, there you go. Yeah. Let's move on and talk about the next book, Justice League Dark, number 20 from DC Comics. Some pretty messed up stuff happened with the Rat and Animal Man in this issue. One of you dudes want to talk about this?
Sure. I would say, speaking of art, art in this is creepy. Super creepy.
Sorry, could you try that again, but start off saying, my liege.
No, I will never do that. I'd rather take off your head with a hat. I would
never wear a hat.
Yeah, I think this is, you know, the Rod is creepy. The art does a great job of representing that in this book. But sometimes the art can be too creepy and get scared to read it.
You got scared in this book.
Yeah.
Really? So the words didn't scare you. It was the art this time.
Yeah, definitely.
Nightmare. This book is great. It's been great for a long time, and now they're sort of spinning off into another fucked up part of the DC universe with the Rot, the Red, the Gray, which is like mushrooms.
Yeah, that's pretty upsetting.
Fungus.
Yeah.
Upsetting. So I'm excited to see what happens next.
Have you been reading this one?
Yeah, I'm not completely caught up on this one, though. I did just watch Justice League Dark, the movie on the DC Universe, their movies are so much better than the live-action DC movies.
Yeah.
But,
the animated movies
are
great.
I'm caught up. I know all these characters. You know, I like Iron Man. I like Detective Chimp. I like that there's a chimp that's smarter than me. That keeps me grounded.
Yeah.
Go to the zoo and just give him a nice little, like, keep fighting, guys.
Yeah, he's wearing a hat.
Yeah, that's
what I'm just saying.
He smokes.
This is great. Every issue, James Tynion has such a good handle on these characters, and they're so unique throughout. It's very good. Last one to talk about, X-Men Fantastic Four, number 2 from Marvel Comics. This is, as the title said, bringing the two teams together, jockeying for Franklin Richards. Both of them want Franklin Richards on their team.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff going on.
It's a great book for a Cyclops fan out there.
Nope.
He's out? No?
Yeah.
great. I think this is great. Chip Zdarsky is writing this, and it's really the Fantastic Four, Mr. Fantastic in particular, is being really raked over the coals here. Mm-hmm. He fucked up.
But he's kind of in the right? Like, I've seen a lot of people reacting to this online that we've certainly, I think, purposefully, you're supposed to feel uncomfortable with the status quo of the X-Men right now.
Yep. Yeah.
Here, Fantastic Four is pretty much in the right across the board.
But he did lie. He, like, tricked
He did lie. Yeah. He did lie. Have you been reading the X-Men stuff?
Yes.
What is your take on it? What is your feeling on it?
I mean, I think you just said it. We're supposed to feel uncomfortable about it. So, I mean, it's working. And as far as for Reed Richards, I think people that are parents identify with Reed more so than people who won't.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you just got to do, you know, you got to protect your kid at all costs or whatever.
Yeah.
I like this. I like that Franklin's losing his powers, though, because when he was this kid that can make, you know, universes and stuff, I didn't care about him whatsoever. And I actually found him pretty annoying. How do you identify with a character like that? So now that he's kind of losing his powers, this is the most interesting in Franklin Richards I think I've been.
I feel like that's always a storytelling temptation with comic books where they're like, here's this character. They are all powerful. They can literally do absolutely anything. Isn't that cool? And then very quickly you realize that it actually limits the storytelling possibilities because everything becomes so easy. So to your point, I think this is a really good move.
Yeah.
I also liked how they were kind of talking about Sabretooth and like all the shit that's going down on the island, how it's fucked up, you know.
Do you like that they mentioned your friend?
Yeah.
Mr.
Tooth.
What part of the X-Men stuff makes you uncomfortable?
Me?
Everybody.
Everybody?
Because you're saying like that that's meant to make you uncomfortable.
I think the cult atmosphere, like the fact that there's this entirely new status quo that is purposefully not meant to be human. Mm-hmm. They have evolved beyond that. Mutants are their own race. We are humans. I don't know if you're aware. And I think, the way that Hickman is writing it, we can't quite relate to that. Like, we can't quite relate to the path that they're on. And even they, at least some of them, are uncomfortable with the path they're on as well.
I also don't like the fact that they're giving all these humans these weird drugs and get them all fucked up and hooked on drugs and like, leave us alone, we'll give you drugs. That's kind of
the drugs are healing drugs.
Yeah, are they?
I think it's fucked up that one of the rules is you have to fuck other mutants, like right now. Like immediately.
What's fucked up about that?
Well, they're like co-workers, sort of.
I mean, kind of.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all in that team.
Are they getting paid?
No, but they're
do they have benefits?
They do it. It's like a team dynamic. They're like, let's go do this thing as a group.
Yeah, I guess. Like if you were like went to a team building seminar or something, they're like, okay, we're going to do trust falls, and then everybody's going to fuck.
Yeah. I'm saying that'd be weird in your office, or any office.
I mean, not in my office.
Yeah, you have a very sexual office. You have the same policy. Yeah. Like you have to
I have fuck. A messed up. Yeah. I work at Krakoa.
You're at Krakoa.
You obviously don't work in the HR at Krakoa.
You're the managing editor.
I definitely don't.
I'm managing editor of the Krakoa.
I'm definitely going to get fired from Krakoa for this podcast.
Are you a line producer at Krakoa? Or what's
yes, this is a very specific joke.
Yeah.
What makes you uncomfortable about the status quo?
I mean, I just think it's the impending doom, you know, that's coming.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, they got Apocalypse on the team now. It's right there in his name.
Right. Yeah.
You know, the storm, the shit's going to hit the fan in a little while. And it's just waiting for it to happen. Mm-hmm. And the way Magneto and Apocalypse always, we're superior, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You guys are going to die out because we're superior. And Professor X isn't disagreeing with him anymore.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, he's kind of right there going,
ever since he's like turned into Lollipop Head, he's really laid back about shit.
Again, another problematic hat.
Yeah.
Wow.
You got to be careful with
really
hats.
You really cracked it. You got to be careful with hats.
Yeah, man.
Yep.
You ever had a hat that drove you crazy?
I mean, that hat over there that you haven't cleaned for 14 years.
Yeah. Fuck you, man. I clean it.
It's How often do you clean it?
Pristine.
What do you mean clean it?
Yeah, I have it cleaned. I go to my dry cleaner.
Hat cleaner?
You dry clean that
you
hat?
You dry clean the hat? That seems...
That's
if you're going to lie about something, come up with a more believable lie.
That's an unbelievable lie.
It's not a lie.
You take a bag of stuff and drop it in your dry cleaners. You're like, hey, man, clean these slippers in his hat.
And that's not the weirdest stuff that I've brought over there.
No. What's the weirdest? No questions?
Yeah, no questions.
That. Yeah, that's probably a bad idea. And we're not going to follow up on the stack because we're done with the stack. Nailed
nice.
It.
Nice, King.
stop saying that, please.
All right, we're going to move on with our next section, which is audience questions. For that, we're going to go out to all of you.
Yeah.
And all you have to do is ask a question either for our amazing guest or for us, and you can get some free comics and it looks like some hats. You, sir, what's your name? What's your question?
Hi, I'm Brad. I have a. Can you hear me?
Yeah,
I have a question for Shane. Do any other wrestlers read comics? Is there anyone you could sit down with and bullshit about comics?
Ooh. Nice.
Yeah, there's a couple of us that I talk to them probably more about, way more about comics than we do about wrestling. Raven Raven was one, ECW, former world champion. Raven is a huge comic fan, and he would have one of those steel briefcases that looks like a Halliburton, it was just filled with comics.
Oh, that's hilarious. So, cool.
Him, CM Punk wrote a comic. He wrote he wrote Drax the Destroyer for I think everything we ever talk about is comics.
He's done a bunch of comics, I think. He did a couple of indie books, I think, and then he ended up on that Drax book.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, so there's quite a few of us. And, I mean, I think that fantasy world of pro wrestling, you know, it really kind of does merge with the superhero world, too. So,
Are you going to get into writing comics? I mean, you said you sent us that motion comic that you worked on.
Yeah, well, that was a printed comic, but they turned it into a motion comic. So, that was just my first little foray. That was a little short story. Yeah. It's something I thought about a million times, but my career, fortunately for me, has been very busy and very hectic, you know, I don't know, for the entirety of my career, I guess. So I haven't had the time to go jump into another career, which is very time-consuming, like writing is. And so,
on the future, retirement.
And there's a big difference between having a great idea and being able to put it on paper.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
Huge difference.
Let's talk to the writer, the WWE writer here.
Imagine, see, he has to write for characters that talk back.
Yeah.
When you got your own characters, you know, Stephen King can do whatever he wants. You know, you do what the hell I tell you to.
Yeah.
He has to deal with, you know, gigantic human beings coming up to him and going, why would I do that?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if my character would do it. I wouldn't say that.
Yeah, Stephen King would have to be like, okay, so Carrie, you're going to dump the punch bowl on your head, and it's going to really make you uncomfortable, and you're going to freak out a little bit.
And then she'd be like, in our business, yeah, but it's going to get in my hair, and I have an appearance tomorrow.
Have red punch, and then they actually lose their mind.
Yep. Great question. We could take another question. Anybody? Anything?
Boothman's got a question.
All right.
I was a big WWE fan growing up, probably right around Attitude Era, going into like mid-2000s, so I very much remember the Hurricane. Thank you so much for all your entertainment. I'm just curious. I have a bunch of questions, but what's the biggest pop that you remember witnessing live, and what was that like?
That was involved me or involved somebody else?
I guess both. I don't know. What's the biggest pop that you recall for yourself, and then just in general, I guess?
I mean, there's been a few. You know, we're trained to listen to the audience. But by the way, it feels like I'm talking to God here because his voice comes from everywhere.
Boothman doesn't actually exist.
Yeah, he's a deity.
He's a mutant theater that we perform inside.
And so what the hell was I even saying? What was the question?
Biggest pop.
Oh, when I came back to WWE, well, I left WWE in 2010 and started, you know, working for other companies. And I made a surprise return in 2018 in Philadelphia at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
And we kept it a secret. Like, I went to the airport in disguise. My woman, who's she's almost 6 foot, blonde. She wore a wig going to the airport.
that's exciting on its own.
You know, she's on all my social media, so guys will see her, especially if wrestling fans, they'll camp out at the airports and stuff when they know we got a big show coming. So if they saw her, they would knew I would assume I'd be there.
Yeah.
So we jumped through hoops to keep this a secret. They even flew me into, I think it was, they had me staying in Newark and sent a limo to get me so that I wouldn't be in the Philly airport. So when I came out, it was just, and I didn't know, you know, I'm hoping they're going to cheer for me, but it had been 8 years at that point. And in show business, out of sight, out of mind, I was on, you know, other TV shows, but not that one.
Yeah.
So I was halfway confident that they're going to remember me. But when it came out, it was just incredibly loud.
That's so cool.
And it just, and like my, I couldn't, it came a point where I couldn't hear my music anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, and normally that means get your ass in the ring, it's time to get to work. If they cut your music short, that means you're taking too long. So there came a point where I couldn't hear my music, and it was just because they were cheering. So I slid in the ring kind of super fast.
That's great.
Yeah. Nice. You got another question, Boothman?
Oh, man, I got a bunch of them.
oh, boy.
I guess kind of to keep it kind of comics-based, both pro wrestling and comics are so kind of much about, like, serialized storytelling. And I'm just curious, how much does professional wrestling, obviously there's a lot of, like, writers, so many moving parts, how much does that kind of change with how the audience reacts, how real life kind of interferes with, like, the kayfabe? How much does that kind of change, kind of just based off of what's going on, like, kind of live?
I mean, well, a huge difference is we get instant feedback. Like, you know, if a writer puts out a comic, you know, he's not going to know the reaction until the audience reads it. And, you know, they're going to have to write letters or emails. We get it the second it happens. Whatever feedback we get, the fans generally let us know right away. So, and there's a ton of real life scenarios where something happens. You know, somebody will get hurt in real life and they're off the show, and we don't really get to write a story for them with, you know, just pencil and paper and say what happened. For me, I broke my neck in 2007, and it was so severe that we couldn't do anything. Like, you know, sometimes we'll go beat a guy up and you leave him laying, and that tells the story of why he's going to be gone for, you know, 8 or 9 months. Mm-hmm. Well, my neck injury was so bad we couldn't do that. Just I was there one day and then gone for 18 months.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So
that's intense.
Cool. You got one more, Booth Man?
Another question,
too.
Oh, yeah, we got other questions, too.
All right. Come on down. What's your name? What's your question?
Hey, my name is Matt Shane. It's an honor to be in the same room as you. I've been, like, Boothman, same time frame of being a wrestling fan. I remember winning the Cruiserweight title with you in WrestleMania X, like the video game, so I have good memories. Now, you're probably the most well-known superhero gimmick in wrestling with the Hurricane, along with Mighty Molly and the superhero in training, Rosie. Are there any other wrestlers who portrayed superheroes or supervillain gimmicks that really stood out to you?
Nice.
There were several that were superhero-based. I mean, I was probably just the first one that said, I am a superhero, and acted like, you know, I was a superhero for no matter whether it was backstage or in the ring.
You but committed to it 100%.
I was committed.
Yeah, exactly.
That was the only way, to me, I was going to make it work.
Of course. I mean, you can't just be like, I'm sort of a superhero. Yeah. I don't know.
So, I mean, we got a guy on our show now that, you know, his moniker is he's a superhero, but it's doesn't do anything like I did. His is more of just, like I said, a moniker, whereas I was a gimmick. But, you know, Owen Hart as the Blue Blazer was, you know, superhero-based. I think a lot of the traditional luchadors, you know, from Mexico, everybody has a mask at some, you know, at some point. So,
and a persona.
A lot of their, you know, characters are superhero-based. Tony Atlas at one time, he was Black Superman, Tony Atlas. He was Mr. USA bodybuilder. Right. Extremely powerful, and by the name you might guess, he's an African American.
Yeah.
So he did Black Superman for a while.
Good. That's good.
There's been a few.
But you went further. Like, you had a secret identity at one point, right?
Yeah, it was a secret identity, but only to me.
Yeah.
the way we did it on our show, I would do the Clark Kent thing, the hat, the glasses, but everybody would know. But they would go along with me while I was doing it, and then I'd walk away, and they'd go, that idiot. But we did something once where Ric Flair was the only one who didn't know. So he's talking to me as the reporter was Gregory Helms. Uh-huh. And so Ric Flair is talking to me, but he's talking about the Hurricane. He's like, and you tell the Hurricane, I'm going to find him, and yada, yada, yada. And then Ric Flair, you know, I leave, and Triple H comes in, and he's talking to Rick, and he goes, you know that's him, right? You know that's the Hurricane. He's what?
That's great.
That's
I imagine that's what a lot of people do with Clark Kent and Superman as well. Like, this idiot.
Triple H constantly coming at him. Like, you know that was him.
That's
Superman.
That's it, right?
We had another question. Oh, here we go. What's your name? What's your question?
My name's Melinda, and my question is, considering I've seen a lot of cosplaying, especially in the wrestling ring, what do you think is your favorite cosplay that you've seen based on comics?
Oh, man, that goes up with every con, it seems now.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it went from little generic costumes to, I mean, these are some super professionals out there that do a lot of good work. So, I don't know. I mean, when I see people cosplay as me, I get pretty impressed by that. One year at San Diego Comic Con, there was a husband and wife, and she did Mighty Molly, and he was the Hurricane.
So
I'm just there in my, you know, civilian. And so I just go over to them and start talking to them about their outfit, and I just slowly wait for the light bulb to go off. But then to slowly realize that
sounds familiar in a lot of ways.
And I've been in costume, because generally when I do Comic Cons, I'll do it in full costume. Not this time, but normally I do.
Yeah.
And people, when I sneak away from my table and I'm walking around, people come up to me and goes, man, you look just like him. And I'll just go, thank you. I worked really hard. You know?
That's so funny.
That's awesome.
All right. I think we're going to move on with our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
All right. This is a part we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for showing up. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Who would like $25 free? Simple raising of the hand. Yes, nice. You casual hand up guy.
Casual hand up guy. And for those of you...
Come on over here.
We're confident... This is a lot like a match, a wrestling match. Pete is sort of the heel here.
Oh boy!
And so this is going to be good.
I don't know what that means. Remind us of your name again, sir.
Brad.
Brad. Audience. Brad.
Yes.
All right, Brad.
You're like the AJ Styles.
Don't say that. Don't say that. That's upsetting. All right,
PJ.
So, Brad, how this is going to work? I'm going to read you a question, then I'm going to read you three possible answers. As long as you select the right answer for the three questions, $25 yours. Wait, okay.
Isn't it one question with three answers?
That's correct. Yes.
Don't question him. That's the biggest thing you can't do.
Brad, okay. I'm hungover. Please take it easy on me. All right.
You'll get it.
Yeah, it'll be fine. Right. Today's trivia is on topical comic news. Okay. Question number one. Marvel teases what new title that has Iron Man and Black Cat in it? Is it A, Iron Cat, B, Scatman, or is it C, Julia Roberts? So you could be select A, or you could be completely wrong.
I think I'm going to select A, Iron Cat.
Iron Cat is correct.
Really good. Getting the hang of it. And let me just say, this is the most distance between any two trivia people.
Yeah, it's smart. Brad, smart. Here we go. Question number two. DC approves Sean Murphy's spinoff comic called based off what? Is it based off of A, The Wake, or is it based off B, White Knight? Or is it C, Glenn Close? So it's either A, or you could select B.
I think I'm going to select B.
That's right. Sean Murphy is going to do a spinoff of The White Knight. Should be pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Here we go. Question number three, last one.
Getting through it. Then you can go to bed.
Yep. Marvel announced it's C2E2. What new limited series would start this year? Is it A, Ultraman? B, Spoon's McGillicuddy, or is it C, Gwyneth Paltrow? So it's either A, and you win $25, or you could pick something else.
Well, with that in mind, I will pick A.
A is correct. Ultraman is coming out this year.
Well,
congratulations. Right. Congratulations.
Now, Pete, you always hide a secret quiz your quiz. Mm-hmm. It has been Robin Williams movies.
That's right.
Is it still Robin Williams movies?
It still is a Robin Williams movie.
Interesting. Wow. A Robin Williams movie with Julie Roberts, Glenn Close, and Gwyneth Paltrow?
That is correct.
That's great.
Does anybody know what movie?
Yes, thank you. Boothman Prime is correct.
Oh, wow.
Boothman Prime pulling your ass out of the fire.
You haven't done the hook yet?
That was not Boothman Prime.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It wasn't?
That was not. That was Matt.
Nice. Ah, there we go. Do you know what you win? Nothing.
Nothing, but thank you.
Satisfaction of paying tribute to Robin Williams. Yeah, all know, tomorrow is new comic book day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to Batman number 90. As well as Lois Lane, number 9 of 12.
Nice.
Great. Anything you want to say about either of those?
I'm sure you guys have heard of these people. Famous in the comic book world. I've been really impressed with been doing the Lois Lane book. Some great stories, a lot of great character stuff. I've been really impressed with how well done it is, so I'm excited to see the next issue. And Batman, it's Batman.
Great.
Good stuff. What are you looking forward to, Justin?
I'm looking forward to Strange Adventures number 1 from DC Comics.
Yeah.
Written by Tom King and art by Mitch Gerards and Doc Shaner.
You love stuff that's like kind of depressing, a little scary. That's like really in your wheelhouse.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Want to push the boundaries.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't want just Batman hanging out again. Haven't we seen enough?
No.
Yeah, we've seen it at least 90 times.
This follows Adam Strange, the number 1, too. It's a new start.
Ooh, yeah. Fresh start.
Adam Strange, Tom King's done a series of books, the Vision series, as well as Mr. Miracle. They sort of take a sad look at these different characters.
We'll have a review of that in our Stack podcast, which is in the Comic Book Club feed and also in its own feed, Wednesday at 9 a.m. I'm looking forward to another book we're going to have a review of there called Strange Academy. Academy.
Well, that's strange.
Number one. So strange.
Also strange, but this one is from Marvel Comics, and it's about a school for sorcerers and stuff, which is exactly my jam. That's the stuff that I'm into. So I'm very excited about it. Hurricane, plug your stuff. What should people check out? Where should they find out more about you?
I'm on all the socials at ShaneHelms.com because my website is ShaneHelms.com.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
And you're an over-tweeter by your own.
I am an over-tweeter, but Grammar, Facebook, all that stuff. So I'm on there and I put everything out there. So I do my silly little podcast, which I've been doing for like 2010. And one of the reasons I wanted to do this show was because I've always talked about comics, but not to the degree that you guys do.
Yeah.
And so like now I have not at all. But now I have a dedicated segment on my show every week. But really, like, because I listened to several different comic podcasts and I just thought you guys just blew everybody away that I'm listening to. Now you guys kept it positive. It wasn't these over judgmental critiques and reviews about comics from people that haven't done them. You guys are just positive, and that really, you know, that kept me coming back. You know, even when you said juxtaposition so many times in that
Got him! The king is dead.
There's a lot of that's probably why you don't like the Squadron Supreme, because it's not as much.
This guy's a juxtaposition head.
We'll do Squadron Supreme, and then we'll judge the level of juxtaposition with
him. Oh, boy.
That's your wheelhouse for sure.
But what's the name of your podcast, just so people
can Highway to Helms.
Highway to Helms. Awesome. Definitely check that out. Couple of things we want to plug before we go. We do have a bunch of other podcasts that we do. We do a Riverdale podcast called Riverdale After Dark that goes up Wednesday after that show. Also, Katie Keencast, our Katie Keen podcast, goes up Thursday after that show. We are still working our way through Lock and Key. Lock and Key Unlocked is the name of that podcast. And we're aiming to put out recap episodes every Friday on that. So definitely check that out as well. Pete, what do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on our show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Check us out at Comic Book Club Live. .com for this podcast and more. You can support the podcast at patreon.com/comicbookclub. Couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Hurricane for being on the show. Boothman Prime. But most of all, we want to thank you all. We are here every Tuesday at 7 p.m. totally free. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Thanks for coming out, everybody. We really appreciate it. 1, 2, 3.